Hey Siri, give me H-Town Soccer.
Talking all things Houston Dynamo FC. This is the official Dynamo Theory Podcast. We are Forever Orange.
What up, H-Town? Welcome to a special segment of the official Dynamo Theory Podcast. My name is Rudy Segura, and along Dustin Richardson, we are joined by a very special guest, MLS insider Tom Boker. Tom, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Busy, of course. Everybody is. The offseason never stops, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Tom. So everybody, obviously, glued to the World Cup right now. Before we narrow it down to the North American teams, what are some of your takeaways so far from the tournament?
I really love watching Messi with Argentina. Maybe it's just it being his last tournament. I felt like that's the team that I want to watch the most, them and obviously Brazil, because, like, I don't know, sometimes we romanticize about Brazil, the Jogo Benito, the beautiful football, the Samba stuff, and then just to watch them play, and it's like, it's all true. It's just a different level of beauty and fun when that team plays. So it's glad to see that there are still some of these like little truisms that come from like talking like forever, like waxing lyrical about all the beautiful Brazilians and all that stuff. So I found myself watching those two kind of South American giants because I watch the Euros more than the Copa America. So like, I don't know, like when it gets to the World Cup, it's like, I really find myself drawn to Brazil and Argentina.
All right, man. We know that Mexico obviously, you know, didn't advance out of the knockout or to the knockout stage since like 1978. Pretty disappointing. Canada not getting any points was a little bit shocking. Yeah. And then the young American squad, you know, showing a little bit of moxie in Qatar. But did you expect a different result for those teams? And maybe what do you think about for us to expect in 2026 when all of them are hosting the World Cup?
So I'll go one by one. I think with the United States, I think they did as expected. I thought that there were some really nice performances. I thought that the game against the Netherlands was disappointing, but I think round of 16 was as expected, for me at least. I don't know what kind of how other people felt. So Mexico was as expected for me as well. I didn't rate them very much. I didn't think they had a chance to get out of that group. Like, it came really came closer than I thought, but like, game against Poland was pretty lackluster. Like, some of the, like, I know that it was a huge disappointment to Mexico, as it should be. But for me, I went in thinking, like, I don't think they're getting out of the group. Canada was the big disappointing surprise to me. Like, we're going into the tournament and, like, casual friends who, like, only watch the World Cup, I'm like, whoa, Canada, like, are they any good? And I'm like, dude, they're the best CONCACAF team. And I'm like, I it would have been an upset if they got out of the group. I thought it was going to happen. I was kind of all in on this Canada team. And they had a lot of really good moments. And then to walk away, not only not getting a point, but like their goal difference being just about as bad as Qatar's, is like just a huge disappointment. And again, like, they're a young team, and you saw the cracks of like, Borjan isn't good. Like, at this stage of his career, like, he was a different player than he was in qualifying when he was like playing above his ability. He probably wasn't as bad. He probably isn't as bad as he showed at the World Cup. But like, then Steven Vittori, like, then like watching them on the World Stage, like, all right, like, maybe I was overinflating what I thought, but like, yeah, that was kind of the big surprise for me.
So we keep hearing about, obviously, Messi, Miami, all the MLS rumors. What do you think the possibility he comes to MLS, and who are some of the other guys in Qatar that may jump over to Major League Soccer?
Yeah, Messi to Miami is extremely real. I assume if I had a bet right now, I'd say I think that he does in the summer. I guess that there is a world where maybe he stays at PSG another year and comes in a year after. But like, I feel really strongly that Lionel Messi is going to be in MLS at some point. And again, if no, I'm not like reporting with sources right now or saying anything, like, so don't kind of hold me to this. But if I had to guess, I'd probably say this summer. But look, things change. There, you know, no decision has been made, as kind of his camp has put out either through Fabrizio Romano or other statements. Like, that is real. Miami are real in like these talks. Like, these are like real, like, they are one of the finalists, whether it's he stays at PSG or kind of goes to Miami or whatever. Like, that's something that I'm expecting at some point in the near future. Other guys, like, there's going to be the Luis Suarez rumors all off season. Taylor Twellman said Sergio Busquets is 99% done to Miami, so that's another guy to watch. Other than that, like, I'm trying to write something about realistic MLS targets from the World Cup, and there's just so many good players. Like, I was even looking at Ecuador, and I'm like, oh, this center back's really good. Like, Let me just kind of look him up. I was like, oh, he plays for Bayer Leverkusen, and he's an every game starter. Of course, like that's not somebody who's coming to MLS. So like, there are like the last guy on the bench for teams in the knockout rounds. But yeah, like there will be players at this World Cup that come to MLS.
Yeah, talking about MLS, I mean the only team or the only player remaining is with Argentina, which is Thiago Almada, that made it kind of last minute, obviously due to injuries. But you know, just to get, you know, I guess your thoughts on who has the best chance, you know, out of this 8 teams remaining to lift the trophy.
I really wish that it shaped up for a potential Argentina Brazil final. I think I like the winner of that game, that potential semifinal, if it gets there. That would be my favorite to win the World Cup. But like, look, like, man, you look at all these teams, like, God, like France are incredible. England for all the jokes, they're incredible. Like there's just so much quality left in this tournament. Like Portugal, like, are probably not at the same level as those other 4 teams, but I wouldn't be shocked if like they get to the final, right? Like there's, I don't know. I think that we're set up for like a really good, you know, final, however many matches there are now with 8 teams left. Like, you know, it sounds like a cop-out. I will say either the winner of Brazil, Argentina, but like just in general, man, there's so many good teams.
So we'll move over to the Dynamo now. It's a little bit of deja vu here. 2 years in a row, 2 new coaches. The Nagamura era didn't go so well, ended very quickly. So now Ben Olsen takes over. You think Ben Olsen, what do you think he brings to the Dynamo? And do you think he can be the man to kind of turn things around here?
Yeah, I don't see why not. And look, and I'm generally more positive. I don't know. It would have to have been like a weird hire for me to not at least give it benefit of the doubt or, hey, let's see how it goes. But like, I think that Ben Olsen gets, I think, unfairly criticized maybe for how it ended in DC and maybe just being there for so long, it felt stale. Like when I was reporting on this, like I put out that Hugo Perez interviewed for the job, right? And just the perception between Hugo and Ben Olsen was just kind of wild to me. Like I really rate Hugo Perez as a coach, as a develop, like all, like a lot of positive things, but like we conflate that Ben Olsen is in his young 40s. The DC United job was his first job. Like how many, like usually don't get that long in your first job unless there's like resounding success. But like people are like, oh, why can't we, why I like, we will probably go with Ben Olsen, but like, I wish that they would go for like an up and coming younger coach, like whatever it was. Talking about Hugo Perez. Hugo Perez is a grandfather. He's in his upper 50s. Like, again, this isn't a knock on Hugo, but it's like, yeah, Ben Olsen is a young 40s, like manager, mid 40s, whatever he is. Like, it's weird because he's been in our MLS lives for so long that it's like, oh, he's like this old washed up, boring candidate. But like, I don't know. I think that he deserves this change. Like it would have been unfair if he never got another MLS job. That being said, like if things don't go well here, like that might be it for him just because of how things ended with DC. And then if you kind of swing and miss it in Houston, like, I don't know if he gets another job, like we'll kind of see how it goes. So I think it's at one of those points where I think it's fair that he's getting a chance. And I'm fine with the hire. It's not, you know, like, oh my God, that was incredible. Or like, oh my God, that was awful. But like, this is, I think that he would probably understand too. Like, this is really important for him. It's like Luigi Gonzalez in San Jose. Like if it doesn't go well, where's this job number 3 come available? You know, you're not sure. So I think that this is a really big moment, both for Ben Olsen, for the club, for the front office, being that this is, as you said, their second coaching search in as many years. So there's a lot of pressure and there's a lot riding on this going well for all parties.
Yeah, talking about general manager Pat Onsad, man. I mean, he took over a squad that really needed an overhaul. Obviously, last season, it seemed like he had his, you know, hands tied behind his back. It was a bigger mess than expected probably for him. But, you know, this offseason, we've seen already, you know, a lot of cleanup happening. We saw that, you know, they trade away Fafa, Pico, they trade away Tim Parker for allocation money. What other players, you know, in the current squad do you think hold value and may see other teams, you know, come looking for them as well, you know, as a possibility?
Yeah, so you spoke about it, and I just kind of want to elaborate. Like, the situation they inherited was really, really bad in terms of allocation money, in terms of bad contracts that were long term, in terms of movable assets that you could realistically expect to get any real allocation money for. So look, the Tim Parker trade, they got money for him in allocation, but they're still holding whatever the portion of his salary. So like the allocation money is kind of going to that. So it's kind of a wash. It was about kind of creating more space and trying to get out of kind of air quote bad contracts or however you want to describe it. And that was kind of the move for a lot of what they had. So they didn't have a whole lot to work with. I think that Sebastian Ferreira, like the DP spots were kind of their big spot in the U22 initiative. Sebastian Ferreira, I like a lot. I think that was a really good signing. And I think this is a 15 goal scorer in MLS. Like, I just think that Don't have to worry about him if he gets a service. That's a really good signing. Jury's still out a little bit on Hector Herrera, given the fit. It wasn't great when he came over, but look, like, it takes time to adapt. This is a player that I think the more good players around him, he's somebody who kind of rises with the tide rather than, say, you know, an individualistic winger that, like, you put him in and he'll have good moments. Like, Albert Elise, like, even when the Dynamo were bad, he had, you know, you could have a highlight reel for him. I don't think it's the same for a player like Hector Herrera. U22 initiative, Thiago, didn't work out, and he's already gone. So at least that, while that wasn't a good signing, obviously, because he's not on the team anymore, it wasn't detrimental. It was something that they got out of, and now they can use that asset again. So it's a long-winded way of saying that this was a really difficult spot. So it was like with Cincinnati as well. The first focus was, we need to reset as much as we can so we can start to make changes. So that's what you're starting to see this offseason. They were able to bring in Archer. They're able to get kind of move on from Tim Parker. And you know, I assume that there's going to be more center backs to come in to challenge for minutes next to Teenage Adabe and with Steris. Like, so it's more about incomings at this point, because there aren't a ton of players that, you know, you could flip around MLS to, like, get a bunch of allocation money. Like, the Fafa Pico one was good because they were just going to decline his option and lose him for free to create the salary cap. Like, they got a little bit, they didn't get much from Nashville, obviously, but, like, that was a good way to get a little bit of allocation money and open up some more salary cap. So again, it's these rebuilds take time. I know that fans don't want to hear that. I wouldn't want to hear that. It's not easy, but, like, at least that they're in year two of kind of overturning bad contracts, of overturning the roster and giving themselves a chance to kind of make more change.
You mentioned center backs. We saw your report this morning. Matt Hedges still out there. Dynamo, one of the teams. I'm kind of interested in him. What can you tell us about that? And maybe who else could be still out there in free agency?
Yeah, there are a lot of good free agents still available. Like Aaron Long, again, I'm not sure if the Dynamo were in that. I would be really shocked if that's where he ended up. But, like, you just kind of look up and down. Like, there are a lot of options. There are going to be players in the international market. There'll be more players on the trade market. With Hedges specifically, yeah, I don't believe that they've made an offer, but the interest is real enough that I felt correct to kind of include their name. I would not say that I'd expect him to come here. Like, my assumption is it's going to be one of Toronto, San Jose, or Cincy, and probably one of Toronto or San Jose. But look, things change. Maybe Houston has a meeting and offers whatever it is that turns his head, and he wants to stay in Texas, again, these are all hypotheticals. But as of right now, my assumption would be that Hedges ends up in Toronto or San Jose.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned there hasn't been a lot of movement for the Houston Dynamo, apart from the arrival of Arthur, which I think it's a great pickup. The team has no DP spots and lacks international spots. So do you believe that using the U22 initiative is likely what, you know, Houston will use to bolster their attack?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big chip. And it is... it's difficult because you look around the league, there aren't a lot of, like, U22 initiative in and of itself is a bit of, like, the reason why it was created is because these are risky signings. Young players don't always pan out, and, like, they take time. So there's a reason why that the league wanted to incentivize teams to do this more by making it, okay, transfer fee doesn't go into the budget hit, and he hits the budget at 200,000 or 150,000 if he's 19 or whatever it is. So it is somewhere where ownership can say, here's a couple $1 million. And, like, we don't have to count it against the cap. Here's a way to give you a little bit more money. But, like, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, like, some of the, like, Atlanta United signed a U22 winger who, Edwin Mosquera, who didn't score a professional goal before Atlanta signed him. And he's still a talented player. But, like, you know, like, these aren't guys that, all right, cool, you're going to start and play and start 28 games and we're going to be able to rely on you. Like, just by the nature of this mechanism, it's about taking a talented young player who may or may not kind of pan out and may take a little bit of time to develop. So yes, this is a way that ownership can say, hey, here's some money and we'll add them to the roster. It's going to be a cheap onto the budget. This is one way to add another player, but I'm just trying to caution expectations that, you know, for the league, it's been more Thiago than it's been Dejan Jovic, right? And even Dejan Jovic hasn't been starting for the Galaxy, and he's one of the success stories of this mechanism. So I would just kind of caution my expectations there, but yeah, that'd be a big chip that they could use if they get it right.
So before we let you go, Tom, Memo Rodriguez, one of the players that Dynamo let go, kind of a fan favorite here, one of our few homegrowns, you know, that's panned out. Where do you see for him? Jonathan Siegel said he's one of the top 10 guys left in free agency. Where do you see for Memo where there may be some possible spots he could end up?
This is a good question. It reminds me that I need to ask around about Memo a little bit more. I'm a big fan of his. I think that he's, you know, again, everything is relative to salary cap, to contract, to the budgets, all that. Like, But just kind of in a vacuum, I like him as a player. I think that he's versatile. I think that he could work well in a lot of different systems. I think he's a very, very useful MLS player. Again, it depends on what the salary cap number is. If you're paying him, you know, big TAM money, I wouldn't love him as much. You know, I'd love him a whole lot on a homegrown deal, right? So, like, these things all play into it. But just as a general sense, I think he's going to have a lot of options. I think he does have a lot of options. I don't even need to report that to know that a player of his age, of his ability, of his kind of resume is going to get a lot of people calling and asking about him. That's going to drive up the price. So I'm not sure where he's going to end up. I don't have anything for you on this one. But again, like, Memo is a player that I don't think he's going to be short on options.
Well, Tom, you know, I know you're really busy, man, all the time. So thank you so much for your time and being, you know, here with us today at Dynamo Theory.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys' support. I appreciate the work you guys do. You guys do some really good stuff covering the team. You know, I always defer to the people who are around the team day in and day out. So it's always nice to go and talk to you guys.
Thanks, Tom.
Cheers, guys.